Your money should serve you and your goals, not the other way around. At Eastern Planning Incorporated, we want to ensure your dreams are within reach. And this starts with a smart financial plan. Welcome to It's Not Just Money, It's Life with Matt and Beth Blecker. In our ongoing podcasts, we will give you clear and trusted guidance, teaching you how to use your finances to make your retirement years the fulfillment of your dreams with a well-balanced life free of worry and stress. We are so excited that you have joined us. So, let's get started.
When you become a client of Eastern Planning, Beth and Matthew work with you to help you create your ideal future. Where does that start? With your very first contact. I'm Patrice Sikora. Now, Beth, what should someone expect with that initial encounter?
When people first contact Eastern Planning, what we do is we send them a package. And inside of that package, we send them a questionnaire. Because without understanding who you are, we really couldn't help you. So everyone will fill out that questionnaire. We don't ask you to bring the questionnaire in ahead of time, but we do ask you to make sure you have it with you. Many people do send it in ahead and that's helpful, but if you bring it with you, that's good. So you come to the first meeting and the first meeting is always with me. I interview you and I decide whether or not Matthew's going to get a chance to meet you or you get a chance to meet Matt. So in that first meeting, I always want to find out why now. What made you come to Eastern Planning? What was the reason behind it? Because what I do want the first meeting to be is something that will help. I don't want the first meeting to just be finding out who you are and deciding whether or not we're going to work with you. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that if you have any issues that need a quick answer, if you have some questions, that we can help you with those ahead of time, before you decide, because it's all about how we can help you. And so it starts right at that first meeting. So at that first meeting, I interview you, you interview me, we find out about each other, and we try to make some plans already. And after that meeting, if you're happy with what, or the prospect is happy with what I've said and is looking forward to working with us, then they'll set up another appointment and then they get to meet Matt and they get to show him his investments and find out what our philosophy is in investing and how we can help you in that area.
And Matt, how do you go through that with them?
The second meeting is a meeting where I've already analyzed their information. We know their answers from the first meeting. And we put together a proposal for them to see. It's really a general proposal for them to see how we may work with them. And it's not as customized as it would be when they'd be a client, but it's going toward that way. It's saying how we work, what's our investment philosophy, how would we set things up, what are some things we would change, and what could we improve in your situation, and what could we do to get you to where you need to be. And so we'll review our investment philosophy, we'll review the current fees in their investment and the current structure of their investments and what we may want to change and what we may not want to change. We have to look at costs and penalties and taxes and a whole bunch of things. And every plan needs to be customized for that particular client. And then we also discuss what other aspects are there in the financial plan. So it's not just investment allocation. It could be contributions to get to retirement and different types of retirement plan contributions. It could be distribution planning and retirement distribution. So you don't outlive your money and you help leave a legacy to your kids. It's estate planning and tax planning every year.
But this is still a pretty big, broad meeting.
Yes, it's really still a broad overview. It's more specific information, but it's getting to a little more detail in what we do and how we could help a client based on their personal situation. And the third meeting is when we get into implementation. The third meeting, the client comes in understanding that, well, the prospect comes in understanding that they're going to become a client. And then we get into specific recommendations and we start implementing their revised investment plan. And that could mean investments that we're taking over management of. It could mean allocating outside investments. And then once that's done, that takes a couple of meetings. Then we get into financial planning and we review their legal documents and their taxes and the different types of insurances they have. And sometimes they need another type of insurance. Sometimes they don't need policies they have. So it's really refining their whole situation. And that takes in total probably about 6 meetings initially.
Wow.
And then after that's completed, then they go into monitoring. And we have several financial checkups per year, at least twice a year, but sometimes 3 to 4 times.
Inside of what Matt said, it's also a very personalized way of meeting with people, because what happens is in the first 2 meetings, both Matt and I get to know them. And once they get through the investment side, because what we've decided, and I decided this way back when I was an accountant, but what we decided was that if we were just going to send them off with a financial plan, let's say we put together this beautiful financial plan and it costs $5,000 and they went off, most people never get around to it. They never get around to it. Or they go to other advisors that say, oh, wait a second, what do you mean do this? No, you're much better off doing this. And so what we've decided is when somebody comes to us and they're willing to let us be involved with them, and they meet Matthew and they feel that he is somebody who they can trust helping them manage their money, then once they've done that, then they get us to help them through their whole life's journey in doing a financial planning as compared to putting together a financial plan. And so that is, as it takes 6 meetings, it takes 6 meetings just to get set up. It takes a life to do financial planning.
But I like the difference you made there. You talked about financial plan versus financial planning. Talk to me about that.
Right. So even when Matthew says he does a proposal and he says, you know, he'll put together a proposal, he doesn't put together a proposal that's, oh, you're going to take like a Chinese menu, you're going to take from column 2. He puts together a proposal because he feels that it's the best for the client then. But he's constantly monitoring and watching. So when he says monitoring, what that means is proposals change. Philosophies change. They could come to us when they're 40 and now all of a sudden they're 62 and they say, oh, well, we were talking about contributions, but now we're talking about distribution. So it's constantly moving and changing. They can come to us with an estate plan where they still need guardians for their children. Then they come and they want their children to be the executor because all of a sudden they have older children. Or God forbid, they can come to us with an estate plan thinking they have perfectly healthy children, and all of a sudden there needs to be a special needs trust. And then it's very complicated because now all their beneficiary designations have to change and their legal documents have to change. And so it's not just me, it's Matthew and I, because he's handling a lot of the beneficiary designations and I'm coordinating with the estate attorney. So it's so ongoing. Mm-hmm. It's so important to be ongoing. It's just always changing.
Exactly. And that brings us back to this philosophy of what have you done for me lately?
So Matt does that with investing. So Matt, tell them how we handle what have you done for me lately in investing.
So, I mean, and best right, initially the proposal, which is really meetings 2 and 3, and from 2 and 3 goes from a more general proposal to, and getting an idea of how we work and what we would do for the client, to a much more specific proposal that we implement. And we formulate a full financial plan and help them implement that. But things change over time. Someone's risk tolerance might change. Someone's financial situation might change. Somebody may be getting closer to retirement. Tax laws might change. And so we look at all that on an ongoing basis. And that also, of course, involves a lot of continuing ed for us. And we help integrate that in a client situation and help them make appropriate changes over time. And sometimes the best counsel is to do nothing. Yeah. There are times when that's the case, and that's the best advice. And a lot of times that's when the market's really volatile, and the best case is to stay the course. Because what we do in portfolios is we have 3 buckets in a portfolio. We have a conservative bucket that's very conservative. It's in savings accounts and money market and very short-term, high-quality bond funds. And that's where clients who need money in the next few years, whether they're younger and they're working and they need funds for kids' college or a home renovation, or they lose their job and they need to tap into that for a brief period of time, or they're retiring and they're drawing income from their portfolio. That's where they draw from. And if we have 3 to 5 years of safe money, we avoid having to liquidate from this, anything from the stock market when the market's down. Mm-hmm. Then we have an intermediate term bucket, which is like a 3 to 7 or 5 to 10 year bucket. And the long term bucket, if we're invested in equities with that piece of the portfolio, it's 7 to 10 plus years, and it's very well diversified. So we don't have to, typically clients have time for that to recover. And when we refill the first bucket when the market's doing well. So a lot of times when the market's volatile, it's reminding clients we're well diversified. You have a safe bucket. We're going to keep drawing from the safe bucket. If there's a unique situation like 2020 with COVID, when people weren't going out, we can say, okay, now we can even cut the distribution rate because you're not traveling as much. You're not able to travel as much. You're not spending as much. So the portfolio allocation does change over time, but sometimes it makes sense to do nothing. But other things are important too. The distribution rate isn't static. It can change. It's dynamic. It can be lower in times of financial distress or in difficult times in the economy. So we try to set up a portfolio that's flexible enough and takes into account time horizons. So we avoid a difficult outcome or a bad situation, like having to liquidate an equity fund or stock when the market's down.
But I just wanted to say one thing, because he didn't say the one piece that I always do say, but he always, what have you done for me lately? I always tell our clients, what have you done for me lately is because we don't invest in anything that they're stuck in. Like when he says he's rebalancing portfolios, we don't have to worry about, oh, there's a penalty, or, oh, you have to stay in it 6 more months. Or we're always making sure that there's nothing that's going to force them to stay. Now, the market, we may tell them they shouldn't move because the market's down and don't sell now. But if they ever said, I'm selling now, there's nothing that will hold it. It's always the only thing that ever holds people back is volatility and taxes. And sometimes penalties. You don't want to take money out of your IRA too early and get a 10% penalty. So it's never because we put them into something and say, too bad, you're in, you have 5 more years.
Is it important for you to understand or know about all of a client's investments?
Yes. So we have to look at the whole picture. And there are some investments we may not be able to manage because they're active retirement plans, or they can't be moved because they have a surrender charge. So we need to look at the whole picture. We need to understand what the whole picture looks like to decide what we're able to move, what makes sense to move, what makes sense not, to formulate the best allocation possible. And like Beth said, we're not a sales oriented company. We don't work on upfront commissions. We're really looking to build long-term relationships. And that means an ongoing fee for advice over time. And if the client meets their goals and does well over time. And if there's a situation where a client's looking for shorter term returns or insist on panic selling, and we've spent a lot of time with them, we can't convince them otherwise, it's just not the right client for us. And we advise them to move elsewhere.
All right.
And then and another situation inside of Matthew mentioned 2020. One of the lessons well learned, and 2020 was a difficult time because Matthew was working full time and going full time to get his MBA.
That was 2008.
Oh, 2008.
That was a long time.
Not
ago.
2020.
Yeah,
2008. Right. You're much older than that. I try to remember him as younger. But right. So that was the example. 2008, everybody remembers 2008, right? So in 2008, we had a client who had a friend who managed a piece of their portfolio, right? A friend. And they didn't want to take that piece of their portfolio away from their friend. And when they first came in, Matthew looked at their whole portfolio, and they had with their friend a very stable bond portfolio. Mm-hmm. And sometime in that year, or right before, probably in 2007, sometime in that year, without us knowing, their friend moved them from a very nice, safe bond portfolio into a stock portfolio. And all of a sudden, during 2008, they're panicking because the portfolio is going down so much. And Matthew says, get me a copy of it. And all of a sudden, it was in stocks. Now, our portfolio was well balanced, but it might have been a little more conservative had we known that they had 100% stock portfolio elsewhere. So that taught us a big lesson, because we really need to be constantly aware of what else they have, because sometimes advisors do things that doesn't work towards the rest of their portfolio.
Now, you mentioned this a little earlier. Different demographics, different people need different goals and objectives. Tell me about that and how you determine who really needs what.
Well, we really have two sets of clients. I mean, you could break it down to more groups, but the two sets of clients we have are clients who are in retirement or almost retired, and their goal is to make sure they don't run out of money and are able to live their life comfortably and enjoy their life, and in a lot of cases, leave a legacy to their kids. So in that case, we're setting up a portfolio geared to retirement. They're taking distributions in a certain way. We're trying to minimize taxes as much as we can. We're helping them with minimum distributions and beneficiary designations and estate planning, among other things. The second group is working professionals, and they're looking to save more money so they can retire and build up their assets so they're able to do so at the desired date. And we help them with current retirement plan contributions, what's the best way to do that in the most tax-efficient manner for now and for the future. It might mean a combination of 401k and Roth IRA. It might mean Roth 401k. It might mean a lot of money in a pre-tax plan because they're in a high tax bracket. And in a lot of cases, we're also helping them with saving for their kids' college through 529s. And also, if something were to happen to them, they likely need term insurance. And we're also helping them with taxes as well, and beneficiary designations and estate planning and insurance as well, but in a little bit different manner than we do for clients who are retired. In that case, it might be insurance for a client then might be income replacement, where life insurance is typically less necessary in retirement, unless it's somebody with an abundance of money who wants to leave a lasting legacy to their kids. And then, and so life insurance obviously is more important in when a client's working, but becomes less important as they get closer to retirement in most cases. And then long-term care becomes more important. So those two sets of clients are used to working with. We have a lot of experience helping, but they require different, some of the same goals, but a lot of different goals.
Right. And then Matthew said something about estate planning, but some of our clients also, on the other hand, have parents that are getting elderly. And now they have to start stepping in and being more involved in the caregiving and management of parents. And so we have to help them do that, because that is something that naturally comes. You get to be 50 and 60 and your parents get to be 80 and 90, and hopefully that they're still alive, hopefully. And then you have to be understanding about that. So we look at their whole family as well. And their children as well, starting saving, but more so helpful with the older generation. And then the other thing that has to happen is when their parents do die and they leave them money, there's so many rule changes. Like right now, we just recently found out that what we believed happened in the Secure Act may not have, because in 2019, the Secure Act was passed, and it said that there's no more stretch IRAs for most children. They have a 10-year window. But it was believed, and in 2020, there was no RMDs, no required minimum distributions. But 2021, they started again. And it was believed that the 10-year bucket could be taken out at any time as long as it was finished at the end of the 10th year. Now we're being told that there's a good possibility that they want required minimum distributions. Oh. If we weren't involved with them, are we sure that they were going to find out? This is something that's obscure. And now we're both, Matt and I, are staying quite on top of it to make sure that we not only take out our 2021, but we make our 2022, but we make sure that we didn't have to take out the 2021, or we have to make it up and get it done. So there's so many things you have to be worried about inside of looking at the client's whole picture. And that's what we try to do.
Now, one thing you both have said in one way or another is that you help your clients save, but then you've got to help them know when they can spend and what they can spend. I love the lines you've both given me. Beth, you say your job is for the clients, get them to spend their money. Matt, you say, they can spend, but not too much. So tell me about that.
There are some clients who don't spend enough, and we do have to encourage them to spend more because that's what they save for. And we don't want them to give up lifestyle enjoyment. And that could be a client who, let's say they're 65 years old or 7 years old, and they just retired and they have a couple million dollars and their distribution rate from their portfolio is 2%. Well, typically in that case, they'd be more than okay to go up to 4%. I mean, which is pretty prudent. So our goal is to say you can afford to do more. If you don't, someone else is going to inherit your money. But then there are clients who are spending 7 or 8% of their portfolio, and that's probably too much. So our goal is to say, okay, where can we cut expenses, and so that you can lower that a bit. So there are all different types of clients. Some clients are afraid to spend money. We have to encourage them to spend more. Some want to leave a legacy to their kids. Some don't care about. So we really have to deal with each client, you know, personally, one-on-one, so that we're able to, you know, customize their situation as best as possible. And of course, it's dealing with different personalities. Some people are really risk averse and really prudent, and others live in the now and are a bit too aggressive.
And what you said in the beginning is, I love when I have a client who's not spending enough and they come to me and say, I'm thinking about taking my children on a trip. Is that something I could afford? I love to help them and say, absolutely. And if you took $20,000 extra out of your account this year, it would be no big problem. I hate when we look at somebody who's taking 7 or 8% and they're dipping into their principal. And I mean, I could try saying something like, well, you have to promise me you're not going to live past 92 because your money's going to be gone at 92. But I hate doing stuff like that. So I typically make sure that those meetings go to Matthew.
Well, and a lot of times with a client like that, it's just an understanding. It doesn't always turn out this way, but there's an understanding that they're going to have to make adjustments in the future. And that might mean downsizing. So some clients may have a lot of carrying costs because they're holding two properties and they have a membership, a golf membership or something at one place in the winter. And then they have a place up north in the summer and the carrying costs are very high. So they're maybe, okay, we're spending a little too much now, but in the future, we're going to downsize to one place. Or I'm going to take a little bit more now because I'm holding off on my Social Security until age 70. So the Social Security benefit is higher. So I'll take 6% instead of 4.5%. So it's a long-term situation. There's a plan in place and we make adjustments when it's necessary because things change. You know, sometimes the market's more volatile than you expect. Sometimes clients have to spend more or less than you expect. Sometimes the goals change. Sometimes they want to give more money to their kids when previously they didn't. So that's why it's key to meet with clients at least a couple of times a year. On average, we meet with our clients every few months, every 4 months.
These have been very difficult times to stay involved with clients. What are some of the things you've done to do that?
I'll take that. This is the fun side. So I'll start, you'll finish. Okay. So we've depended on Zoom. So we've decided that we're going to have as much fun as we possibly can have. So we've been having Zoom bingos. We had a Kentucky Derby day, where on the day of the Kentucky Derby, we set up the Zoom. We had people betting on horses, but we're very charity minded. So everybody who knows that they're going to do Zoom with us, bingo with us, and they're going to win, or if they're going to bet on horses and they're going to win, that the winning is that we donate to their charity.
Right.
Right. So we're not doing this for any kind of gambling. It's just that we're going to pick a charity, or we're going to pick an amount of money, and the person who wins get to put that money in the charity that they choose. And our clients love that. And so we've been very charitable inside of giving, but our clients have been very involved because they get to participate and choose their charities. So we've been doing a lot of that, and it keeps our clients involved. I mean, yeah, there's lots of little Zoom boxes.
That's okay.
But at least we're talking to one another and we're in bigger circumstances. And so it's kept our clients involved.
What about the chocolate though? The chocolate tasting.
Oh, that was a Galentine event last year. And what we did was, sorry, men, but what we did was we sent out little samples of chocolate from this chocolatier. And everybody got, I don't know, six chocolates, different chocolates. And then the chocolatier was on the Zoom with us and we had a chocolate tasting. And so she explained all the different taste this chocolate, this was in Belgium or whatever. And we got to taste all of the different chocolates and she explained what each of the chocolates were. And it was everybody got very involved. It was a very nice event.
I know it was for gals, Matt, but did you enjoy the?
I try to stay away from that stuff if I can.
He is. He's very rigid in his eating habits and his exercise habits. He's very efficient that way, not like his mother.
So we also have once a month client Zoom calls where there's an open forum for them to ask investment and other financial related questions. And it may have to do with the current macroeconomic environment, which we try not to focus too much on the macro. So the goal is people can't help to do it sometimes, but the goal is to reiterate our long-term philosophy. And also other non-investment related topics like tax questions and changing tax laws and minimum distributions and things of that nature. So we hold, it's really like an open forum once a month. On like a Monday or Tuesday at 5 o'clock, where any client can jump on the Zoom call. We record it for those who miss it. And when the markets are volatile, there are many more clients on it than when not. Like, so in early 2020, there were a lot of clients on it. Middle to end of 2021, very few were on it. And I assume tomorrow is our next one. We may have more on it this time.
And Matthew dubbed the name back in 2008, and I remembered what year it was this time. Matthew dubbed the name, he loves history, so he called it a fireside chat. So they're fireside chats even in the summer.
Nice. Very nice. Well, we've really covered just about everything. We're kind of running out of time here, unfortunately, but is there anything else we didn't touch on that you want to make sure we mention? Okay. Then let's go with how can listeners reach you?
Go ahead, Matt. Tell us how they can reach us.
So they can reach us at our office phone, our main office line. We have one main office, one satellite office, but everything is patched into our main office, which is 845-627-8300, 845-627-8300. Or they can email either one of us. Beth's email is bblecker@easternplanning.com, first initial and last name. And my email is the same deal, mblecker@easternplanning.com.
And of course, our website, they can always go on our website, which is easternplanning.com.
And all the information's on there as well.
All right. To make sure you know when every episode of It's Not Just Money, It's Life is ready for you, be sure to follow this podcast and share it with friends and family. I'm Patrice Sikora, and let's talk again later.
Thank you for listening to the It's Not Just Money, It's Life podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Eastern Planning Incorporated. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Securities and advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated, RAA, member FINRA, SIPC. RAA is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of RAA.